Morning at Little Sotora. I don't have too many announcements to highlight. I do want to highlight the, this is the last Sunday to order poinsettias. So if you would like to do that out in the Northex, there's a sign-up sheet. And anybody else have anything else they'd like to highlight? Pam?
I just want to share so that we're prepared after the morning prayer this morning. In your bulletin, there's an insert of "Peace be still and know that I am God." We'll sing it through together one time, and then what we'll do is we'll sing it through a second time, but what we're going to do is the left side's going to follow me, we'll start, and then the right side's going to follow Diane with the choir singing so that we can do it in a round. So you'll be singing it two times through, okay, once all together, and we'll be doing it a cappella.
Thank you. Jean. I missed that. It says the offering envelopes have arrived and will be processed shortly. And if you would like envelopes and you don't currently get the yearly envelopes, see Jean, and she'll get you set up. Anybody else have any other announcements? I see lots of guests here this morning, and we want to welcome you here this morning to be with us. I'm going to ask you to remain seated while we do our call to worship because the Advent candle lighting is a video, so I want you to just remain seated. Let's begin. We'll do this in unison. Let us begin. Lord, we prepare for your coming this Christmas. We know the peace you offer, yet forfeit to this world. Tune our hearts to see the true meaning of the Christ child and turn our hearts toward others. May we show peace wherever we go, and may we know peace through you, our Lord.
Our preparation for the coming of Jesus begins as it did long ago with the prophet Isaiah, who said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned."
For us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever.
Isaiah said, "One who would come, who would bear the weight of the world on his shoulders."
When Jesus came, he took all our sins and carried them on the cross.
He would be called Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is that counselor who guides us and gives us light and wisdom to our lives.
He is the Mighty God.
Though he came to us as a helpless baby, he was God, wrapped in our flesh with all the power and authority God possessed.
He is the Everlasting Father.
Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was chosen. He is the one that John says was in the beginning with God, and he will be there for us forever.
He is the Prince of Peace.
His coming to earth means that God has made a way for us to be restored to fellowship with him. Jesus brings peace between us and the Father.
Jesus is all Isaiah prophesied. Today we remember that without him, there is no Christmas and there is no peace. Let our prayer be that this thought will fill every moment of our celebration.
We light the Advent candles to symbolize the long years people waited for God's peace plan to come. And we proclaim with joy that he has come, and he is God's only begotten Son.
Thank you. As the microphone comes around, I invite you to share any joys or concerns as we begin this Advent season, a season of expectancy, a season of anticipation of the coming of the Christ child.
I wanted to bring Suzanne in prayer. She called me last night and told me to tell you that she's doing better. Her pneumonia's slowly leaving up a little, and she's hoping she'd be home today, but I kind of doubt that. But let's keep prayer for her.
Thanks, Mark. So we had 50 days without seizures, but they're back. So just pray that they're not bad ones, because the ones that we've had so far haven't been terrible. But they're still back. We kind of figured that was going to happen. 30 days from today, he goes for the resection. So just keep him in your prayers for the next month. Thanks.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we turn to you in this very hour. You know the prayer concerns upon each of our hearts. You know the day that we've experienced already. You know the week we've been through. You know the Thanksgiving table that we gathered around with people that we may not have always gotten along with. But Lord, we come to the table today and we see you. And we recognize you and know that you are a God of reconciliation. And so, Lord, we pray for relationships across the globe, that you would mend the broken, that you would continue to nurture the strong relationships. But, Lord, the relationship that matters most this morning is our relationship with you. And, Lord, it's evident by the way we walk this life, by the way we talk in this life. So we pray others would see you through us by the way we interact with each other. We pray for love and joy and peace and kindness and patience. And we pray, Lord, that your peace would be felt this very day. We know that it's a peace that is found within our innermost heart, a peace that we have with you, God. And we thank you that you sent your Son that we might know peace in the flesh. We know, Father, that Daniel is on a continual journey and he's in your loving arms. And we don't always understand why things happen. But Lord, we know that seizure activity has occurred, but we're trusting you, Lord, and we're continuing to keep our faith, knowing that you're holding that family in your precious arms. And we just pray that all that needs to happen will happen, that Daniel could have that ordinary life, that blessed life that you intended for him to have. But we do rejoice knowing Daniel and the blessing he is to us and the joy he brings to our lives. We just pray now, Lord, for those that are going through a difficult time, whether with their health. We think of Suzanne this morning, and you know the pneumonia that she's experiencing. And we just pray, Lord, for your healing touch to be upon her. But we also know, Lord, during our time of suffering, when we go through those difficult times in our lives, that we see you and we recognize you as the one who gets us through those times. So thank you, Lord, for those that surround us, for friends and family that support us. And we just pray for Suzanne right now and for others on our prayer concerns, Beverly and Carl and Vera and Joanne and Naomi, and just continually ask, Lord, your touch upon them, whether you heal them, Lord, or whether you give them the patience and endurance that they need. Lord, we just want to say that we trust you, we surrender to you and what your perfect will is. We do that for each of our lives gathered here this morning. We come as we are and we celebrate new life among us and anticipate the consecration of Ella Grace this morning, and just thank you for their family gathered with her this morning to go through that time of consecration. And we just thank you for setting each of us apart and knowing us, Lord, and loving us and for forgiving us. But we know that sin enters our lives, and we just take pause now during these next few moments and confess those sins to you. And we thank you that you are a Lord that hears them. Thank you, God, that you love us that much, that you sent your Son to this earth. Thank you, God, that you love us that much, that your son came to this earth, demonstrated who we are to act like. And Lord, we thank you that he not only was born, but he was born to die, that our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, we can't make sense of all of it, but Lord, we know that that forgiveness is through the cross and the price that Jesus paid. But on this day, as we anticipate his coming as a baby, we remember that he was among us. He was in the flesh, and he endured much of what we've endured. And so we thank you that we have a relatable God, and we thank you for that personal relationship that we can have with him. So Lord, we just trust you, and we embrace you, Lord, and we celebrate that anticipation this day. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's after Thanksgiving. And with after Thanksgiving, there's what? Black Friday. And with Black Friday, there comes what? Cyber Monday. And with all that comes what? Lots of anxiety over what am I going to get this person and what am I going to get that person? This morning we're talking about peace. And I want to share with you from John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this beginning of Advent, we pray that God's peace, God's true peace is with you. And we don't get all wrapped up in the anxieties of what the world wants the holiday to be. But we get wrapped up in God's peace for us. And as we take the morning offering, I want you to reflect on what is God's peace for you this holiday season. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are in control of all. We know that we can get anxious and all wrapped up into what the world wants the holiday to be, what Christmas should be, is your peace for us, a peace that only you can give to each one of us. We pray now that you take these offerings that we give this morning and that they might be given unto you in your honor and in your name. Amen.
Today, we come with hearts full of joy and wonder as we celebrate God's gift of Ella Grace. We marvel at the grace-filled act by which God gives such a precious gift. We celebrate the promise of God's future that Ella represents. We declare ourselves open to the new responsibilities and relationships that Ella's presence brings. This is a service of both consecration and commitment. Today, we consecrate Ella before God. Before we ever saw her, God was at work creating and shaping this life. Before we ever called Ella by name, God said, "This is my child." Thus, we joyfully affirm that Ella is a child of God. This is a service of commitment for all of us, parents, family, friends, and the faith community. We commit ourselves to sharing with God in the nurturing and upbringing of Ella. It is not a commitment that any of us should take lightly, but neither is it a burden we must carry alone. For as God is present with us in this time of celebration, so God promises to be present with us in each day of the future as we seek to live out the commitments we make here today. I'd like to invite the parents and the family and friends that are here this morning to all come forward, and we shall celebrate this consecration. I invite you to the right of me as the parents and the child. You can fill in on both sides if that's okay. Isn't it wonderful to see so many family members gathered around the child? It's a beautiful occasion. This morning we celebrate the gift of new life among us, coming in the person of Ella Grace. Life we have waited for expectantly. Life we have watched growing month by month. Life we have welcomed in pain and joy. Life we see and hear and touch and smell. We celebrate the gift of new life among us, coming to us as a gift from God. We give thanks for a baby born with fragile yet fully human features, reflecting our image and God's. We give thanks for the extension of family and community across the miles and here today and across generations. We give thanks for the potential and opportunity this birth heralds, as well as for the challenge and commitment it calls forth. We give thanks for the joy of this moment and the promise of God's continuing presence among us. This is always my favorite part. Mommy and Daddy are right there, yep. Mommy and Daddy are right there, yes. Ella, you are consecrated to God, and God's Spirit will always be with you. As you grow, may you come to recognize the presence and blessing of God in your life. May you be nurtured in your faith by the people surrounding you, and may you find a home within the faith community. Let us join together before God in publicly making our promises regarding Ella's spiritual nurture in a litany of commitment. First, as the parents, Tammy and Chaz, repeat after me. We promise to offer Ella a loving home where she may learn the importance of faithfulness to God through worship and service. We will teach her the way of Jesus through word and example. We will further encourage her toward a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would everyone else repeat after me? May God help you in keeping these promises. Russell and George, not only siblings, but godparents as well. May God help you in these promises as well. Would you repeat after me? We also promise to be examples of God's love. And to offer additional places where she can turn with difficult questions. And to the rest of you, would you repeat after me? We further promise to be supportive of you in your task of parenting And to you, George and Russell, in your roles as brothers and godfathers. Through our prayers and other acts of love. And would you all repeat after me? May God help you in keeping these promises. We promise to share in Ella's Christian nurture by providing her a warm and welcoming faith community in which she can grow in God's love. We will supplement the Christian education and spiritual guidance she receives at home as we fulfill our special calling as the body of Christ, of which she is a part. We will be in prayer for Ella and for you, the family, as we continue to support you as a family. May God be present in your life and in our lives as we provide you nurture. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this precious gift of life. We thank you for the joy that she brings. But we thank you also for the responsibility we have to nurture her and to upbring her. We pray now for strength. We pray now for patience. And we thank you, Lord, for the peace that you give us in this very moment. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come front. Thank you all for coming front with me. I have a question this morning. Do you ever get hungry during the church service?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Sometimes you have to rush around on Sunday morning to get here, and I get hungry. So this morning, I decided I'm going to get a hamburger, and I stopped at McDonald's because I was hungry. If it's okay with you, I think I'll eat it right now. Let's see. Oh, I got a straw, but I didn't need the straw. I had my coffee here at church, so I don't need the straw. Let's see. I have some mayonnaise to go with my hamburger. A little mayonnaise. I went over there where you get all these things. Oh, and I got some ketchup to go with it. I like ketchup on my hamburger. Oh, I got another straw in there. Let's see. And napkins. I always need napkins. You need napkins? Especially if you drip the
ketchup,
right. You get messed up too? Well, I have plenty of napkins. I even have sugar to go in my coffee. So I'm all ready. I have some salt and pepper. I think I'm ready to eat it. I hope you don't mind. I don't know where my hamburger is.
I think you left it at home.
I must have left it at home. He thinks I left it at home. I must have left it there. I got so busy getting all these things. I needed the sugar. I needed the salt and the pepper and the mayonnaise and the ketchup. I didn't really need the straws, but you're right. I need the napkins. I really need the napkins. Do you ever get that busy that you forget something so important like my hamburger? Hamburgers. You get so busy you forget things. Well, today's Bible story is about Jesus going to visit some friends. And the one friend got so busy, she forgot about Jesus' visit. She had to go in the kitchen. And you know, some of us are like that. We have to get in that kitchen and get things ready for the meal. But the most important thing was Martha sat with Jesus and listened to Jesus. So I'd like to think about you. What's coming this month? What big holiday?
Christmas.
Christmas is coming, and don't we get busy?
Yes.
We just heard them talking about shopping. We need to shop. We need to get food. We need to get presents. I need to get my Christmas tree up. I just don't know how I'm going to get all those things done. I just have to do everything. You're right. We don't have to do it. What is the most important thing about Christmas? That Jesus is born.
I go to Christmas too.
You go to Christmas too. And we have to remember that Jesus is born. Even though we like all those presents, and we'll make our list for presents, and we like to see all the lights. I had company the other week, and I took them to Christmas Village because we want to see the lights, and we want everything to be right. But the most important thing is Jesus. Jesus was born, and we need to remember that while we are getting ready for Christmas and all the things we want to do. So let's not forget, like my hamburger, I just got so busy, I just forgot to get the most important thing.
If you get so busy getting presents and setting up Christmas tree, you just might forget about celebrating Jesus' birth.
That's right. We get so busy putting up the Christmas tree and doing other things that we just might forget to start to remember Jesus' birth. And that is the most important thing about Christmas. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for all the lights that we see at Christmas, for the gifts that we look forward to, for the friends that we'll greet, and for all the good food that we'll eat. But Jesus, we ask you to help us remember the most important thing is you. We need to spend time remembering you, and we thank you for coming as a little baby to Bethlehem so that we could be worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.
Do you ever know that song was learned on a broken organ? And now we sing it worldwide every year. What God can do is amazing, isn't it? Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm already in a blur. I can't believe November is already gone. And suddenly, Thanksgiving's over, and now we're developing what I'm trying to consider may possibly be a gobble attitude. We're starting to act like what we ate, a bunch of turkeys. And as Gary alluded, it all started on Black Friday, strutting our stuff, looking for the greatest deals. Adrenaline's flying as high as a kite, pushing, shoving, throwing courtesy right out the door. Hot collars, long lines, people were trying to skip, and even longer faces of frustration when they didn't get what they wanted. The sad truth is we're beginning to deck the stores with howls of folly. So what's going on? It's starting to look a lot like Christmas in a fast and a furious pace, rather than a perfect Christmas peace that God intended, sending his son with grace. Friends, it's either now or never. We need to slow it down, or we'll never find that peace. It will simply pass us by. Now, this sounds hilarious. It may even be a bit extreme, but I think we all know it's not all that far from the truth. A recent article I read online entitled Rethinking Gift Giving. And it goes on and it says, the sooner, the better. 28% of shoppers are entering the holiday season still paying off debt from last year. Over 50% of holiday shoppers either overspend their holiday budget or they don't have one at all. Consumers who went into debt over the holiday season racked up last year an average of $1,054 in new debt. The article supposes this may be okay if our gifts were legitimately enriching the lives of other people. But statistics say otherwise. 53.1% report to receiving an unwanted Christmas gift. Anyone ever got one of those? 16 billion dollars is wasted on unwanted gifts every year. Some reports indicated up to 18% of gifts are never even used, and 4% immediately tossed in the garbage. But let's be honest, how many of us have that person to shop for that's impossible? They have everything. We stress. We're filled with anxiety. What in the world am I supposed to get them? But friends, be reminded what the scripture tells us. God has sent us all we need. Listen to these words. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We know that today begins the Advent season with expectancy, with anticipation of a great light shining into the darkest corners. Yet many still overlooked the fact and continue to shop till they drop, stressing over that perfect gift. They worry whether the house will be decorated just right for their family and friends. If that table is set with all the perfect trimmings, the turkey or the ham done to the T. While this carries weight in the world, Jesus is stripping Christmas. And he's reaching down from heaven and he's saying to us, look at me. I'm no longer that baby in a manger. 2,000 plus years have passed, and he's saying to each of us, I am the Savior of the world, and I bring you an abundance of peace, something the world can and never will offer. He says, I am the Son of God, and I am coming again. So this Christmas, we can stress or we can rest. We can rush and hurry and continue searching, or know that we can find Christ. All we need, all we've ever wanted, is found in that child that was born to die so that we could have peace with God. Instead of the hustle and bustle, let's start today setting a pace to stay the course with the Messiah. Let's love a little more. Let's spread the peace all around and offer unending hope and unspeakable joy to the world. Friends, what if we spend less time on stuff and more time on the substance? Could it possibly be we get so caught up in celebrating Christmas, we fall short of celebrating Christ? So in this moment, I invite us to breathe in the very fact with Christmas. God has made a way through his Son to give us peace with him. Talk about something we can celebrate. So let's start now, this very moment, to prepare for the coming of Christ. To conceive the reality that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be made right with God. To do this, let's consider two sisters we know very well. Not Chloe and Naomi, but Mary and Martha. Turn with me, if you are able, to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. And if you would you please read along with me? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. Friends, what we can learn very quickly is that Martha was an incredibly giving person. Look to your neighbor and say, "You're giving." Look to your other neighbor and say, "You're giving." It's something at Little Swatara we are very, very good at. Just look at my office with all the Angel Tree Ministry gifts. You know how to give. So Martha, she lived in a village in Bethany. It was outside of Jerusalem. We know Martha had a close relationship with Jesus. John records in his book, Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, who lived with her. Martha, we could say, was likely the owner of the home in Bethany, or at least she was the eldest woman of the house. Either way, Martha had the responsibility of running the house. Now, how many of there are those among us, or at least feel that way? Martha opened her home to Jesus and the apostles to provide both food and lodging for them. Now, this was a large task, and she took it on willingly. We could say Martha was a rather courageous person. Remember now, there was real danger being too closely associated with Jesus at this point. The danger was magnified due to how close they were to Jerusalem. Jesus is being rejected, and the opposition is beginning to grow. So much so, it says, many followers stopped following Jesus. You see, that initial announcement we heard in our video that he would reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever, wasn't exactly what they expected. They're wondering, where was the upheaval? Where's the overthrow? What's the meaning of this peace he brings? And even today, many still think he's not who he says he was. So we continue to learn. Martha was a caring person. She was caring for both Mary and Lazarus. So many similarities for many of us here doing much of the same in our homes. Now, there's no reason really given, but it's clear that Martha loved them both greatly. So now Martha extends her care to Jesus and to the apostles. She goes out of her way to open her home and to provide for their needs. It's a lot like we do at Christmas. But friends, then there was Mary. Mary was a humble woman. But Mary also had a deep, deep devotion to Jesus. Her desire was to be with him, and nothing else would do. Mary could have placed herself anywhere she wanted to be. She could have given herself a place of honor next to Jesus or anywhere else in the room. But Mary sits at the feet of Jesus. And we know that from customs that was a place of humility. But we could say, as she sat there at the feet of Jesus, Mary was hungry. It's quite clear that Mary had a deep spiritual hunger. And I pray, friends, that is what we each long for, to thirst after God, to hunger for his word. So Mary, we can picture sitting there listening to every single word of Jesus, soaking it up like a sponge. She was so focused on learning from Jesus and drawing closer to him, she forgot Martha's hustle and bustle of preparations. You see, Mary had set her pace, and her actions revealed her attitude and her desire to surrender and a willingness to obey. And friends, can we ask ourselves that question today? Are we surrendered? Are we willing to obey, to be faithful, to be true to the word of God? But then quickly, we see this picture of stress. Martha was stressed by the serving. We could say that she forgot Isaiah saying, "One would come who would bear the weight of the world on his shoulders." Martha was distracted. She was taking the weight upon herself. Not much different than many of us. That word distracted, it literally means to draw around, to twist, or to be a draw here and there. What more vivid picture of what was happening to Martha isn't happening and is happening to many of us when we choose that rapid pace over that perfect peace? You see, Martha was being totally twisted with stress and with anxiety over serving. She was running around here and there, being drawn by the needs of this and that person. Friends, Martha was focused on the preparations of the day and on the guests. In fact, she was so focused on the preparations, she lost sight of her most important guest. And I wonder, at Christmas, amidst our celebrations, have we lost sight of our most important guest? Remember, there are many of them. Their needs need to be met. So for Martha, maybe for us, it's not an issue of effort, but it's an issue of focus. How much time do we spend hanging lights, putting decorations on the tree, or wrapping gifts? Guys, I don't know about you, but it takes me forever, and it still doesn't look anything like Boscov's would have done it for free. But take time, compare your preparations to the time you're focusing on the real meaning of Christmas. What we need to understand is that stress will simply strip us of peace. And Luke makes it very clear that Martha was feeling that stress. And I don't know about you, that stress seems to find its way every year. Martha allowed her situation to control her. And she does, as we read further on, what we all do. She places the blame on someone else. Hear again what she said. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? And I love this next line. I hear my kids say it all the time. Tell her or tell him to help me. We can hear the frustration. We can sense the blame being shifted. But how many times do we say the same things? 'Tis the season to be stressed. There's not enough hours in the days, and all the more reason to pace ourselves. The reality is this. There will be food to be cooked. There will be places to be set. There will be drinks to be poured, and there will be needs to be met. Martha knew that, but Mary knew better. I'm not saying her call for Mary's help wasn't legit, but Martha, in the hustle and bustle, forgot the importance of her most important relationship. There's no doubt, there's no argument needed that she was doing what needed to be done. But like we all strive for, Martha was being generous. She was giving and she was loving others well. But friends, perhaps this year and the years to come, as we anticipate Christ's second coming, it's time for us to strip Christmas of the gifts. Maybe even the parties and gatherings, and simply be with Jesus. Better yet, invite those friends, invite those family members, but together be with Jesus and remember the reason for the season. Notice how Jesus addresses Martha. Twice he says her name, Martha, Martha. In that time, the double use of a person's name showed endearment. It showed affection towards that person. Jesus did this to show how deeply he cared for Martha. His heart went out to her, and he understood the position she was in. But like many years that we've faced at Christmas time, there always seems to be that crisis. Whether it's the turkey or the ham being burnt, the dog trashing over the Christmas tree. But friends, know this today, perfect peace is possible. But along the way, something will try to distract us. And Jesus reveals it to Martha. He's revealing it to us. It's simply a lack of focus. He sees her efforts and she's doing everything that needed to be done. But the problem is, friends, she was too busy to even slow down to notice Jesus. Like Martha, perhaps some of us here today are saying, I try to get too many things done for too many people in too short of a period of time. And maybe, just maybe, this is your year to pace yourself and not outpace peace. Jesus said it like this, one thing is needed. Martha, like some of us, can lose sight of that relationship in the hurriedness of Christmas. We get so busy serving, we stop being with Jesus. We get so busy celebrating Christmas, we fail to be with Christ. We, like Martha, get distracted from our devotion. Busyness isn't actually the problem, because we're called to serve Christ, but it's the fact that our service can draw us away from our Savior. The simple truth is this. We see Christmas through the eyes of a Martha world, but we desperately need to celebrate Christmas through the heart of Mary. So how can we keep pace in a Martha world and celebrate a Mary Christmas? It's right in front of us. We've said it a million times. Remember the reason for the season. Why we celebrate Christmas in the first place. Not about gifts, not about the decorations, not even about the family and gatherings. Christmas is meant to be about Christ. But friends, the world has made it anything but. So today, might we take our stand? Might we set the proper pace and find perfect peace in Christ?